Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show. How you doing, Chris?
Man, I'm good. How are you, Dan?
I'm all right. I'm all right. It's when we're recording this, the weather cooled off, so I'm not melting here anymore. But I'm sure by the time this airs, I'll have melted again.
The summertime struggles.
Yeah. But doing good. If you're listening to this far out in the future and it's winter, I envy you.
Yeah.
So, well, welcome to the show. I think we've got a really interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about budgeting.
Yeah. And the cool thing about budgeting here, Dan, is I know as we were preparing, we wanted to tie this back to our strategic planning discussions and one of our earlier episodes and had done strategic planning. And then from that, we've discussed what we've covered audience. We've covered several different areas in that, and budgeting is something that always comes up with our financial institution clients that has a lot of questions around it. So I agree with you. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great one for us to cover today.
Yeah. How do you pay for all this stuff we're talking about?
Right.
How do you kind of convince your leadership to pay for it? And yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting to kind of set the groundwork here as agencies, and a lot of times in planning and discussion with our clients, it's kind of almost this, not adversarial, but this contentious discussion too, because it's assumed that as agencies, we just want you to spend more.
Right.
You know, hey, let's try this, and while again, as marketing professionals, it is part of our inherent role, Dan, to be forward thinking. That's not always, hey, let's spend more.
Right. No, I whenever I'm talking budget with clients, it's always it's always a lot of that. I'm always trying to be very cautious with how I talk about it, because it's not there, you know, I think a lot of community banks should be spending more, right? And it's not because I'm an it's not because I'm an agency. I mean, we're both a little biased that, you know, banks need to be doing more digital marketing, especially, but it's not just that. Like there are benefits to it, depending on what your goals are. That kind of gets into the, you know, the topics we're going to talk about today. But
absolutely. And it's big picture marketing discussion too, because we could take the word bank, you know, or financial institution out of this discussion and have this exact banter and questions and all of that around just about any industry. So that's one reason I think this episode should be really good for a lot of folks to clue into.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I like how we've outlined this, Dan, that we've kind of got three key question areas that we're going to go through today. So let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And the first one is just super simple, right? As you and I engage with different marketing clients of ours, what should my budget be?
Yes, I think that's the biggest question I get is how much do I need to be spending? How much should I be spending? Especially when it comes to digital, you know, which is just a new area for a lot of banks, but even banks that are on it, right? How do you just wrap your head around the total number? So yeah, Chris, how do you approach that conversation with your clients when you're doing strategic planning?
Good question. I think it has to tie back into that planning process and a strategic planning process, because in order to answer that question, you know, it's, well, what are we trying to achieve here? What are going to be the measurables and the ROI markers, and what is it that you're trying to do? And during that planning process, that's when the discussion, Dan, is going to come up. Well, we've got a new deposit account product this year, or boy, we really need to focus on this loan area, which is kind of our current environment, or whatever the case may be. So it's got to go back to that planning that determines the budget, not necessarily, which I think is kind of the wrong way to back into it, Dan, which is here's the pie. So here's the $10 we can spend on our marketing this year. So go figure it out. And I think that's backing into it the wrong way. So I think it's taking that planning and then moving forward with what needs to be accomplished in order to achieve the goals of the bank.
Yep. You wouldn't go to the doctor and say, my knee hurts, how much is this going to cost me? Right. You're going to figure out what the pain is, right? Why the pain is there, and then what the treatment plan is, right? And the treatment plan is sort of akin to the strategic planning here. We've got to know what your goals are. You got to know what you're trying to achieve. We were talking before this, like a rural bank with big market share, lots of brand awareness, and not many competitors probably doesn't need as big of a budget as the urban bank that has a ton of competitors. But it depends on your goals, right? If the rural bank is trying to expand, maybe you do need more. So you have to get those goals in order first before you can pick a budget. If you're picking a budget, I mean, to your point, Chris, like if you're picking a budget without those goals, it's just sort of, it's almost a random number, right? Or it's, you know, there's got to be some kind of meat behind it.
One of the ones that always concerns me the most in discussion is hearing, well, we've always done it that way. Well, we've always run these ads. Well, we've always done this. And, you know, again, the question I think needs to be more core than this. And again, you and I as marketers love the discovery process, because in the discovery process, we're turning rocks over, right? Are we playing offense this year? Are we playing defense? Or are we just going to kind of sit here and do what we've been doing? Is the goal to gain market share, big picture? Is the goal to focus on this key new product or service area? Or whatever the case may be, but that's back to strategy and what are those initiatives going to be for that coming year? Mm-hmm. You mentioned it earlier in our pre-show discussion, you know, is the bank opening new branches or planning to launch into, you know, new marketing platforms and digital or whatever the case may be, right? Yep. So how do you think we go back and ask the right questions during that strategic planning that then roll over into this budgeting?
Yeah. You know, a lot of it is, I start talking to a lot of banks that say, well, hey, this is what we spent last year and we have that to spend again this year, but most of it's taken up by local sponsorships, right? So we don't have any budget for digital. And, you know, I always try to have that discussion. Well, like if your goals are to attract millennials or Gen Z or you know, really anybody these days, so like you've got to have a presence on digital because the big banks do. And, you know, that's a big reason they're taking a lot of market share. So it's less about having the budget for digital or this is the way we've always done it, and more of like, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be in the next three to four years? If you want to be competing and, you know, maintaining your share, you've got to have that presence on digital.
And at the same time is the discussion of how you need to market to your current customers from a retention standpoint and a cross-selling standpoint. Seems like so often in these planning processes and then where we're going to spend, it's all about new customer acquisition. And it certainly should be, but we need to reduce churn also.
Yeah.
You know, are we losing them out the back door, you know, at a rate comparable to what our marketing is accomplishing, bringing new customers in on the front end? So as we're considering budget, I think those are both things that we have to look at. And I keep saying this, but it's about the strategy. And it's about being conscientious of the front door and the back door. Would you not agree?
No, I totally agree. In fact, I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today and about that customers exiting and how it's not so clear today when customers exit. It's just so easy to open accounts online, whether you're talking about another traditional financial institution or a neobank or a fintech that just solves one little slice of the financial need. Customers aren't closing accounts like they used to, right? You may just keep some money around, but move your direct deposit from your job to another account, or move money over to, you know, Coinbase, and you're doing your crypto investing, maybe not this year anymore, but there's so many different ways, different places that customers can put their money. You might not, you know, if you're just looking at like account numbers of accounts opening and closing, you're not necessarily getting the full picture. I have countless discussions to tie it back to budget. I have countless discussions with clients about, hey, like we have all these customers that have been, have their checking accounts with us for 20 years and mortgages elsewhere, right? Or they got an auto loan elsewhere because we think they didn't know, you know, we talked to the customer when they came in and said, oh, I didn't know you did that. Well, that's cross-sell. That's, you know, that's part of your marketing budget. So, and even the digital marketing budget, because everybody Googles everything these days. And even for current customers, if you're not showing up on Google when they, you know, even if they've been with you 20 years, they'll still go to Google and search mortgage rates or search, you know, whatever it is. And you need to be there. You need to be part of that conversation. Again, that goes back to goals, right? If you're not, if you're not worried about that, you know, then you don't need to be there. But if that's, you know, a concern, that definitely needs to be part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan, that leads well into our second big question outline here. And that is asking, what is the current competitive environment? And I think there are a couple of pieces to that, because I think our brains as business people immediately go to local brick and mortar competition.
Yeah.
And that's valid. It's also only a portion of the answer these days. So what are the other big categories of discussion?
Here's one thing you guys have
in your current competitive environment discussions.
Here's one thing I start these types of discussions with, and it's asking, and I'll ask everybody listening, right? When was the last time you've Googled your bank? Right? Go Google your bank or Google banks near me and see what shows up, right? Or banks near your town's name or the zip code of your main branch and see what shows up, right? And that's your competitive environment. Like that's probably a lot more competitive than the local physical environment these days, or if not more competitive, it's a huge part of the discussion. And just actually physically doing that, trying checking near me, trying, you know, best banks, those types of variations, you can learn a lot about who appears, right? I know for like here in St. Louis, it's usually some of the mega banks, right, are always at the top because they're spending lots of money, but you do see community banks like appear in there, and it's helpful to kind of understand. And if you're trying to talk to your leadership team about budget setting, you know, literally do that Google search, take a screenshot and show them, we're not showing up. We are not part of the digital banking conversation at all. And it starts, you know, so suddenly then spending money on digital advertising starts to feel cheaper when, you know, it's like putting a sheet over your physical branch, right? You just take yourself out of the conversation if you're not present on those Google searches.
Yep. We run a web presence audit for a lot of our clients. You guys probably do this as well, to scope out that SEO environment. Okay.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? And especially for smaller community banks that have that mindset of, oh, my competition is, you know, the bank right across the street, you know, with branches down the street from my branches. And it provides a whole lot of clarity when we do these web presence audits and we get to the competition section. And a lot of times here, oh, well, XYZ bank down the street is not even on this list. We say, well, exactly. Because this is web presence. This is not physical brick and mortar competition. And Dan, for community banks, the ideal position is local relationships plus modern conveniences, you know, and accessibility and all those kind of things. And again, as community banks, and small credit unions and all that, that's how we beat the mega banks, right?
Yeah, right. Even the people that don't come in all that often, like, still want to know that there's a branch there. It's super,
absolutely
super important. And so you as a community bank, your power is in that local presence plus the modern conveniences. It's both, where, you know, That's your edge. Is the modern conveniences for day-to-day life, and then the local presence for when you have a problem or you need it.
And you and I are in complete agreement about that. So if I'm a small or whatever size community bank, and I'm trying to compete both with local competition and with regional national banks and fintechs and everything else, and I'm only solving half of that issue, or half of that presence that you and I just talked about. Maybe I do the relationships great and I do all of that, but not only am I not found well on Google, but then when somebody goes to my website and it looks like I haven't changed the shag carpet since 1983, and you know my website's not even the kind of mobile responsiveness that we need and all these things. And so it's not the immediate impression for potential clients and even current customers for that I'm tech savvy in service to our bank customers. And if you don't portray that in milliseconds, then that's a problem in this day and age, don't you think?
I do. I was just thinking about a bank I talked to recently that, you know, kind of had the perspective that, oh, our customers don't care about the latest and greatest tech. You know, and I said, well, tell me more about that, right? What do you mean they don't care? And what he really meant was, you know, they don't need, the bank didn't feel like they needed to compete with Bank of America on the, you know, the they don't need like a multi-million dollar custom developed app, which is true. But, you know, they just sort of need enough to do the mobile banking that they need, right? And I think that's true. So it's not about, from a budget perspective, it's not about allocating that much money to, you're not competing with the mega banks on the prowess of the award-winning design of their app, but it's making sure that you portray that you have those features, that it's easy to bank with you day to day, because people don't want to come in. I don't want to go into my bank. I don't want to call, right? If I'm picking up the phone to call or I'm walking into my branch, I've got a problem, right? And I want that problem to be solved quickly, right? I called my insurance company the other day because I had a question, but I had to go through 14 levels of, you know, the phone system. And, you know, and I know a lot of community banks like to talk about, hey, you get a real person when you call, but that's part of what you want to portray in your advertising and being there on digital, spending your budget on digital is part of that. You know, if you're there on digital, people start to get the sense that, oh, they're there in real life too. They're not just this bank that I drive by every day.
That's right. Dan, another piece of this that you and I were talking about around what's the current competitive environment and how should that impact my budget is the long-term ongoing budget, kind of the steady flow of your advertising and your marketing versus maybe taking advantage of a short-term opportunity or a short-term need to push HELOCs or whatever the situation may be. I had a client of ours in the neighboring state, one of the neighboring states from us, that recently had a longtime local brick-and-mortar competitor close down their branch in one of their key market areas. So all of a sudden, the prioritization from a budget and marketing standpoint increased significantly, as it should have, because they wanted to jump on that opportunity. And, you know, I think as we're considering budget and do we have flexibility in there, what is that competitive environment? We need to take a look at the entire picture of our business scope.
Right. And that might, you know, those opportunities may just be a short term, hey, we want to run a set of campaigns for 6 months. Right. It might not be we want to double our marketing budget now and forever. It might just be, hey, there's some new opportunities for us this year. So let's, you know, add 10% to the marketing budget for this year to take advantage of those. Right. And this, I think that gets back to, could be a whole other episode. Maybe we should add this to the list, but, you know, marketing as a investment versus a, you know, expense. And a lot of banks struggle with that.
Amen.
Yeah, like when a competitor is getting acquired, there is a clear and present opportunity for you to go after that customer base through letters and calls and, you know, signage and, lots of digital marketing, and you're missing that opportunity if you don't. So if a competitor acquisition is happening and the discussions you're having are like, well, we ran out of marketing budget, then marketing is being seen as an expense, not an opportunity.
Absolutely. It is. And you're right. That's a whole other discussion. the folks that are C-suite that are listening to this podcast might have one perspective on that. And the marketing directors that are trying to drive and do that as part of what they're doing every day, going to have a slightly different perspective on that. Well, sure.
Yeah. We're in interesting seats because we see both perspectives, right? I get it. As a bank leader, you need to make good decisions with your money. And if you're used to thinking about, advertising as an expense, there's a lot of other ways to look at it. We were also talking before this about having a whole episode on ROI. And that's part of it too, if you're thinking of marketing as just an expense, there's some ways to figure out what the ROI is and start thinking about it more as an investment.
There you go. Dan, the other big topic area and third question that we wanted to cover today, as we're considering everything having to do with budget, is the allotment across marketing platforms and what should that be? So Dan, you're talking to a bank marketer or a banker, and what should my allotment be across, which marketing platforms? I know this relates back to our discussion and episode about channel mix and the various marketing platforms. So how do you kind of dive into this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the strategic planning for sure, right? Like it's going to be very based on who you're trying to reach. I always start with who. I go back to your personas, go back to, if you're trying to reach mostly a younger urban audience, you're going to need the vast majority of your budget to be digital. And because that's, if it's people not coming into the branch, wanting to do everything online, they need to be talked to on digital. So invest in Google ads, Facebook ads, right? Make sure your website is up to modern standards. Mm-hmm. Go digital first. If you're a more rural bank that has good market share already, good brand awareness, right? It's probably a little less digital, right? Your digital strategy is probably more around, make sure our current clients know that we offer these services when they go out to Google us, and so you might need a little bit of a maintenance budget. We have one bank, a rural bank that has a couple competitors, but has, I think, 65 or 70% market share in their town. And the only digital advertising they do is like a couple $100 on YouTube ads and a couple keywords on Google. And it's very tiny, but they're in a small town. They get people coming, hey, I saw your YouTube ad. It's almost a nothing expense that they don't think much about, but it makes some discussion happen. They don't expect that small local bank to be on YouTube. But on the flip side, we've got a couple urban banks that, they have their digital budget. Maybe they spend $20,000 or $30,000 a month on digital, and then the afterthought for them is like the local stuff. Like they still have the local presence, but it's the, they push that to the branches. So each branch sort of says, "Oh, there's a parade in our neighborhood. We need to be there." And they, or the, here's the high school right next to the branch. We need to sponsor that. All of that stuff is important, but in an urban area, you need to have a huge chunk of your budget be digital.
It needs to be allocated and fitting to the marketing platforms, et cetera, to your strategy and to your bank. Makes great sense.
So, I mean, to directly answer the question you asked me 5 minutes ago before I started rambling, I always start in my mind with any bank, let's assume 50% digital, and everything else kind of the traditional stuff and local, right? And then swing that kind of pendulum, change that pie chart up, depending on what your goals are, right? If you're urban, if you're trying to reach, or even if you're rural, but if you're trying to reach younger folks or people that are mostly online or really busy, swing the pendulum and put more into digital. If you've got that good market share, most of your expense goes to the local stuff, maybe a little bit less, but it's never zero digital. it's never 100%, local.
It's finding a balance that fits for you between that branding and direct response. You know, yeah. Your direct response is not just digital. I mean, you know, a direct mail historically is, you know, call this number and it's a keyed number or, you know, a specific page on your website or whatever the case may be. But so it's that direct response for whatever product or service or category that is versus we're here, we're part of the community. One of the things that comes to mind there, Dan, is going back several episodes and a consistent theme in what we've done. And I've talked about this a lot. A couple of weeks back, I was presenting at the Alabama Bankers Association conference. And one of the key things that I talked about as far as this blended channel strategy is going back to what's your superpower?
Yeah.
What is the personality, if you will, or what is the key or the key elements of who you are? So answer that question and throw that out on the table.
Yep.
We are diehard local community present, or we are specialized in ag lending and there's nobody better, right. Or mobile home lending, or we are whatever you are. And there are horizontal going vertical ways to look at what your superpower is. So it's taking that and then your strategy that involves many of the things that we've already talked about, your competition and you know, all of those kind of things. And you put all of those cards on the table and then start looking at this much effort needs to be in X strategy and platforms. You know, and then probably yeah. working either your marketing director or your marketing department knows this and they walk that out, or an agency partner like us and says, here's how much for your social media. Here's how much yep. for your SEO. Here's how much for your local sponsorships and branding and, you know, all those kind of things, right? And that starts to, fortunately, we're talking about budgeting today, then those start to become percentages. So we're going to yeah. spend 37% of our marketing budget on X and whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Well, and I want to make the point too. We all see thousands of ads a day, right? Thousands. And I think the reality is we're all just inundated with ads, right? And so no one tactic works. You've got to do a bunch of different things. And the direct mail by itself does not work. Google ads by themselves only do a little bit, but the combination of them is super powerful. Right. So if you're doing a bunch of Google ads and you have a call-in campaign or you have billboards and then you're sending a postcard, right? That direct mail postcard could be the catalyst to make somebody take action. But it's the collection of everything together where you've gotten your brand in front of them 5, 10, 15 times over a couple months that builds that brand awareness. And then, you know, you were mentioning direct response, right? Then the postcard comes home. And, you know, gets that response out of them. But it's less about what tactic works and more about how do we put together a program of multiple tactics, and then different tactics are going to work for different people. A lot of people just throw away their mail. Some people hold on to that postcard saying, oh, I've been meaning to do something about my HELOC, and that makes them take action. Others will get the postcard, throw it away, and then Google HELOCs and you need to appear there too. So it's less about saying our strategy is to spend our budget on direct mail this quarter and more about how do we do these 10 different things, but how do we allocate budget so that we can do all these 10 different things? And that might mean when you do the postcard, you send it to a very small segment, get that big subdivision on the golf course, right? Where people have money to do home renovations and you're only sending out 100 postcards, right? You know, because that's all you've allocated for in your direct mail, but
Within compliance and not redlining, of course. But
yes, yeah. That's another episode too. Is
exactly the compliance yeah, stuff. We will address that as well. Yeah, Dan, it's spreading the mustard, and our question here was about allotment. So you know, per platform or per marketing strategy, and I think you hit the key part of this too. Is that there's not one trigger that's going to cause someone to switch banks or do a loan with you or whatever the case may be, but it's multiple levels of reinforcement. Mm-hmm. that are then reinforced by when somebody does come check you out, what does the brand look like? What does the brand feel like? What is the personality of the brand? How approachable are you? All those kind of things. And keeping things in mind, like from approachability, years and years back, that was all about coming into the lobby and what is the physical environment look like and the handshake that you're getting from the CSR.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that today. One example of what that is translated into today's terms are reviews. So
yeah,
everybody does it. My wife and I, when we travel, she's really big on, you know, Googling whatever type of restaurant we want to eat. And then, man, she will read reviews and read them, you know. And so if we think that that's not happening as part of bank marketing as well, we're missing the boat. Not only if you don't have many or don't have good reviews, is Google deranking you? So that's part of the issue too. But that's the digital platforms that people are having quote unquote conversations. You know,
about and that's your
time. Right. So that's just one of many examples.
Yeah, it's like people standing in front of your branch, giving testimonials or, you know, the big thumbs down as people drive by. Like that's what those Google reviews are doing. Right. And I mean, that's a good point too. If you're thinking about your allotments, like you can think about it. You don't have to think about it in what's my allotment for the next 10 years, but like maybe what's my biggest problem this quarter. Right. I know both of us are going through like quarterly planning for the next quarter right now. So it's, you think about it that tactically, like, okay, well, our reviews are terrible. So if we spend money on Google Ads this quarter, it's going to go to waste because our reviews are terrible and people are going to see the ad and then see the reviews and not look at us. So maybe we take a chunk of our budget this quarter and really focus on, you know, getting better reviews. And that might mean printing business cards with your review link on a QR code that sits at, you know, you hand it at the drive-through, or sending an email campaign asking people to leave reviews, or running a contest to get better reviews or something like that. But it doesn't, your marketing budget, there may be things to kind of clean up, or like take some of the marketing budget and invest in a new homepage layout to help you feel more modern, or just refreshing that a little bit. But, you know, that's everything kind of we think about in allotment, is it doesn't necessarily have to be like a paid ad, but what are all the steps people have to take to become, you know, become a customer, learn about you.
And to get that conversion point of engagement, that's yeah. Right. That then we can follow up on.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, to kind of look back and recap a little bit here. So our first question was about what should my budget be? And we certainly agreed on and both pushed some key stuff there too, that if that's a stale response, and just do what we did last year or whatever the case may be, might want to reconsider. I think we gave some good reasons for that, from initiatives to tie into being intentional. From your planning. And then our next question was about the current competitive environment. And I think that's just about awareness and flexibility.
Yeah. Like being example part of the conversation.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Conversations about, you know, that and what's our level of aggressiveness. And again, it's about intentionality there too. And I think we also made some important points about allotment across the multiple platforms there, and the key being spread the love. No potential customer or even potential cross sell to current customer is ever moved by one touch point.
Right.
We got to reach them lots of ways.
Right.
Right. So.
So we haven't talked much specific numbers in this episode. I think part of that is intentional, because it's like if you're a $100 million bank in a rural area versus, you know, a $2 billion bank in an urban area, there's no like specific number to give you. But I wanted to bring up too, like, I always get the question of how do we get started on digital, or what should our actual budget number be? And I never have there's no like set answer. I don't know how you approach that conversation. I always go back to a rule of thumb of, start thinking in the realm of 0.1% of your bank's assets, right? So for like a $400 million bank, that can mean a $400,000 marketing budget, right? Which might seem just completely massive, but it's a pie in the sky, right? If you're in a rural area, it can be probably far less because you've got good brand awareness. If you're in an urban area,
if you've already got a lot of that market share, right?
Yeah, it probably needs to be in that ballpark to get the market share, get the brand awareness on digital. So, you know, if you're a $2-4 billion bank, maybe you don't need a $3-4 million marketing budget. You know, maybe you do, but you've got to. That's a very broad rule of thumb. I always used to start thinking about it, and then adjust that based on your strategic plan, based on your goals.
There you go. And level of aggressiveness, like we were just talking about. That's a great point. So one of the comments that you made earlier too was that doesn't have to be a forever. But if you've got a really aggressive growth plan that's part of your three-year strategy or just next year or whatever the case may be, then maybe you do need to step up to that 0.1% or start getting close to it or moving in that direction. But that doesn't have to be the forever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are lots of studies out there saying, you know, banks, small businesses across any industry, you know, the people that spend 7-10% of their income on marketing do better in the long run, right? But you don't have to start there tomorrow, right? You want to do that, you know, do that in a way where you're showing ROI and you're building over time. If you just went and dumped $10,000 into Google ads, you're going to waste it, right? Start slowly.
Yeah.
Build up to it. So there's a bank we're working with now that hasn't done really any digital advertising in the past. And I said, look, let's just start simple. Let's start with $5,000 for a quarter. We'll spread it across a couple different tactics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, one, you'll start to build some brand awareness. You'll start to build some web traffic. And, you know, and then we'll get some measurement out of it. We'll get some ROI. We can say, hey, you spent X on Google. You got this many clicks, you got this many form fills, you got this many phone calls.
Yep.
And we can start to put some tangible numbers around it, right? So maybe that bank should be spending a couple $100,000 a year on marketing overall, but we're starting with $5,000 for a 3-month period, total for a 3-month period. And we're going to see where we get to and you know, ramp from there.
And I think that's a great way to step into it. One of the other numbers that I refer to these days is that in the U.S., year over year, digital marketing is growing at an average 12.8% every year. Okay. So that's not just bank marketing. That's across all spectrums. So if you're adding whatever, 1-5% of your marketing, total marketing spend, and that's all that you're increasing on the digital marketing side, then you may want to reconsider that because you're way behind the curve.
Yeah.
So again, it's allotment correctly. It's, you know, in fitting with your planning, but those are all numbers of consideration. So I'm glad we got to throw a couple of those out, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, anyone listening that's still very confused, happy to chat or kind of wrap this around your specifics too. There's obviously a lot that goes into it, but I know a lot of banks struggle with that, you know, forever number, but think about it. Just what do we need? You know, what should we try in the next quarter? What are our goals? What's our competitive environment like? What are the tactics we think will be most important to us? And then just like figure out a number that the bank can afford that's palatable, start there. Make sure you're tracking and looking at the results you're getting out of it and go from there. Your bank may have been around for 100 years. You don't have to like go 0-100% in 1 month on digital marketing. You can ramp up slow.
There you go. I know a lot of what we wanted to accomplish today, Dan, was to make this budget discussion not responsive, but deliberate.
Yeah.
You know, and forward thinking. And I think that's so much of what the key is as we look over year to year and where we're going from here is to be deliberate.
Yeah. 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 I think that's like a great way to sum this up is be deliberate.
There you go.
Tie it back to the plan.
Good, man. Great discussion. I think as we continue these, the idea here is that we're plugging juicy, useful information into the work lives of all of our listeners, you know, and how we can offer this information from, gosh, we talk about best practices stuff a lot. So I think that's one of the key things about our podcast here, Dan, is opening up these platforms for, and these forums for discussion and hearing what lots of others are doing. We say often from small banks to very large community banks, but, you know, I think we're wrapping it up in ways that are helpful and giving folks takeaways. So
yeah,
good to have another episode doing that with you.
Likewise.
Very cool.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Again, if you have questions, always feel free to reach out at contact@bankmarketingshow.com. And yeah, we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot, folks. Appreciate it, Dan.
Yeah, you too, Chris.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and join us next time.